Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from the scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, especially these words. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And this is our text. Human beings tend to be followers of other people. We like to look around and see what others are doing first before we commit ourselves to do something that may be new or unknown to us. We would rather listen to the advice of experts and learn from those we feel are more knowledgeable and smarter than we are. Sometimes we're just plain curious to see what others may be thinking. Just look at how many people today use Twitter, that social networking service where you receive those instant electronic messages from other users. Some famous celebrities have millions of people who follow them on their Twitter account, awaiting to read their every comment or opinion on all the hot topics of the day. But yet the idea of following someone else is nothing new. The world of politics experiences this every election cycle here in the United States. Americans like to listen to all the candidates who speak their ideas and opinions, and then we try to decide who is worthy of our support, who will receive our vote. We all tend to be followers of someone, but yet we like to pick and choose who we will follow. In today's scripture reading, we read how the church in Corinth was badly divided into different factions that each followed a different individual. Some people followed Paul, some followed Apollos, some followed Cephas, some said they followed Christ. Obviously, this was not a very good situation. Church unity was in shambles. There was strife and division and quarreling going on. Personal loyalty to individual church leaders was separating the congregation into competing groups. And so Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And the obvious answer to all those rhetorical questions is no. Jesus Christ is not divided. Paul was not crucified for them, and they were not baptized in the name of Paul. Instead, Jesus Christ is one person. Christ was crucified for them. They were baptized according to the command of Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one person upon whom the church was built. And all the conflict over who was following who was not based on Christ and his word, but rather upon worldly principles and the corruption of sin. There was human pride, there was sinful weakness, there was spiritual arrogance that had robbed the Corinthians of their unity in Christ and left them separated and divided. For Paul, internal division is not what the church is all about. For Christ did not come here to establish many different factions that would compete with one another for more power, for more influence, or more followers. Instead, Satan is the one who likes to sow those seeds of discord and heresy and division and dissension within the church. Christianity was founded upon the confession that there is only one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one good shepherd and one heavenly king who rules over all things. As Christians, we worship the one true God who sent his only Son into this world so that we might follow him. Yes, we follow a man, but Jesus is more than just a mere man. He is the eternal Son of God. He came into this world as a human to save all human beings. As we just celebrated this past Christmas season, Christ was born of a virgin to be the holy and sinless Son of God. He would take up our sin and suffer and die on the cross for our redemption. Christ would do what no other human being could possibly do for us. He delivered us from that curse of sin and the power of the devil. And not only did he suffer and die, he rose again on the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, where he will return again to judge all the living and the dead. Therefore, Jesus is no ordinary leader or some self-proclaimed spiritual mentor or merely just a personal life coach. Christ is our one foundation of hope for the forgiveness of all of our sins and our assurance of eternal life. Jesus came not only as a messenger, but as the mediator of God's covenant, the agent of God's atonement, the gift of God's righteousness, the source of God's salvation. He is the ultimate leader of all of God's people. Of course, back in the Old Testament, the Jewish people had several different kinds of leaders to follow. They had prophets and priests and kings. They were appointed by God to direct the people throughout their lives. But now in the New Testament, Christ has been anointed at his baptism to be the greatest prophet, priest, and king of all time. He fulfills all three holy offices in one divine person. Therefore, Christ has come into this world to surpass all other human leaders in the past, the present, and the future, so that he might draw all people to himself, both the Jews and the Gentiles, so that he might lead them to have eternal life with God the Father someday. But somehow the Corinthians had their priorities all misconstrued. Yes, Paul and Apollos and Cephas, they were leaders in the church, but compared to Christ, they were servants of the gospel, messengers of the word. They were sent out by Christ to make disciples for him by baptizing in the name of the triune God and teaching all the things that Christ had commanded. These men were only the instruments of Christ, sent out to build up, gather the church so that people would worship and follow Jesus as the Lord and Savior of the world. But somehow the Corinthians focused too much attention on the messengers of Christ rather than upon Christ himself. And here's an important lesson for all of us to learn, especially as we go out into the world to serve Jesus Christ. We can't allow other people to follow us as if somehow we're equal to or greater than Jesus Christ. We can't allow all the attention, all the praise, all the support that we may receive from other Christians to inflate our sinful egos or to swell up our human pride. In fact, we must make it clear to our listeners, Jesus Christ is the one they must follow. We are here to make disciples for him, not for ourselves. We can't save anyone. We didn't die for anyone's sins. We don't baptize with our own name, but rather in the name of the triune God, as Christ commanded. We don't really lead people to heaven. Instead, we lead them to Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for their sins. He's the one who washes away their guilt in holy baptism. He's the one who feeds them with his true body and blood in the Lord's Supper. He's the one who hears and answers their prayers. Christ is the one who someday will come again and raise their dead bodies from the grave and give them eternal life in his heavenly kingdom. We are not the saviors, nor the messiahs of the church. We preach Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of the world. We are humble messengers, humble servants of his message, the message that he left for us through his chosen apostles. We are always students of his word and stewards of the mysteries of God. Therefore, we who are called to be servants of Christ, we must never forget who we follow and who we are to teach others to follow. Christ is the Lord and the Savior of his church. We must teach and preach so that others learn to follow him. For as the Apostle Paul says later on in 1 Corinthians, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Therefore, go and serve the Lord, lead others to follow Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.